as I look around the room tonight, the church tonight, I can tell that this is a brilliant bunch of people. Do I need a new prescription in my glasses? No, I can tell this is really a smart group. And I'm going to say a statement, and you're going to fill in the blank, okay? And who knows how this might go, but you're going to fill in the blank. I think we'll probably thinking along the same lines, all right? So the first one, if you don't set an alarm, then you will blank. Be late. Oversleep. Both of them work, but you get the idea. You're going to be late. You're going to oversleep. Number two, if you don't shower for a week, then you will stink. It's like, what is it, the Grinch? Stink, stank, stunk. So, I don't know how long it had been since he showered. But anyway, if you don't shower for a week, then you will stink. Everybody got that one the same. Number three, work in the sun too much and you'll get a sunburn or perhaps a heat stroke, but most said sunburn, right? Number four, talk back to your boss and you will get fired. Number five, make your wife mad and you'll find yourself in the doghouse. That's right. Now, most of these, when I said it came out pretty natural, didn't it? You knew that if this, then this, right? You know, in the Christian life, there's several things that work that way, but the one we're going to talk about tonight in particular, if you sin, there will be consequences. If you sin, there will be consequences. Tonight we're continuing to look at the story, Genesis chapter 9. It's really, as far as I know, God hasn't let me know any different. It's probably the last message out of the story of Noah's Ark. And unfortunately, if I would subtitle it, I alluded to it this morning, the subtitle would be An Unhappy Ending. An Unhappy Ending. Genesis chapter 9, verses 18 to 29. I'm going to read those. Excuse me. And we'll see what God has for us tonight. Verse 18 says, "And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan." I called that to your attention this morning. Canaan, that is mentioned by name as a son of Ham. "These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread." Now, I also mentioned this morning that we're all a descendant of one of those three. And in particular, Shem is the bloodline of Christ. That's where Abraham came through, and therefore Christ eventually. And of course, Ham is the Canaanites. The Canaanites, an evil, wicked people that was basically a thorn in the flesh to the children of Israel. And we'll see kind of why that is as we look at the rest of the passage. It says, "And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent." Now, we spent a lot longer than I actually thought we would, but I just try to listen to the Lord as I preach. I thought we might kind of hit it and run, but God had us to park there a while. And we really do live in a society today that that alcohol is such a part of society for so many people. And some of them, and I realize drugs fit into that category as well, but in particular, we're talking about alcohol here. And as I heard someone say recently, I'm not sure where I heard that. Maybe I heard that with you. Maybe it was one of the sermons. Sometimes we listen in. Amy's more faithful to do that than I am. We listen in at the sermons. They have chapel down at Ambassador Baptist College where the boys go. And they live stream those. And one of them said, "You know, isn't it amazing that in the commercials for beer, everybody's having a good old time. Everybody's smiling and laughing and partying with their friend. No one has a care in the world." But they don't show the destruction and the devastation that can come by taking that one drink of alcohol. and how you can get hooked and how you can become an alcoholic and how, for a Christian, that's a poor testimony. But even for the world, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. I mean, they don't take you to a crash site where everybody in the cars have been killed because someone was a drunk driver. They don't show you the divorce court where two people that are in a marriage are fighting each other over custody of this one or that one. They don't show the kids that have gone through a divorce because of the alcohol that someone drank. And so, like I said this morning, I'll say once again, some may think I spent too much time emphasizing it. I don't think I emphasized it probably even enough this morning. The way God hates it, the devastation that can come from it, and how poor of a testimony it is for a Christian to take one sip of alcohol. And a lot of that for a Christian, the Word of God is very clear about it, not to even look upon it when it's red, when it's fermented, and moveth in the cup. And then you have to look at our testimony as well. And we know in this story here, we very clearly, Scripture in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5, says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. In other words, don't drink wine. It's going to lead to a riotous life. But be filled with the Spirit. The alcohol controls you. So instead of letting alcohol control us, we ought to let the Holy Spirit control us. So that was the big emphasis this morning in particular. And then it says, well, he drank the wine, he was drunken, he was uncovered within his tent, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. A point this morning that we looked at was, number one, and this is the one we looked at this morning, I'm just going to hit it and run. The overall point was, even good men sin, so watch out. If you really ponder for just a moment, he was, as best as everything I understand, he was the most righteous man on the earth. May that be a lesson to all of us. Do not think that you are above sin. Do not think that you are above temptation. Keep your guard up. I tell the boys quite often, among other things, you know, keep your guard up. And that's what we as Christians need to do. If we start thinking how spiritual we are, we're probably in trouble. We need to realize we're just sinners saved by grace. And we can sin. We can still fail God. We can sin against God. So keep your guard up. So even good men sin, so watch out. It's a good story. Now, the wickedness of man is not good, but God said, you know, I'm going to paint you a picture of salvation. I'm going to save everybody on the ark, the ones who accept. And he was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. Got on the ark. 8 people lived through the ark. They were rescued. We're rescued by Jesus. He opened the door, or God allowed them to open the door and come back out. And it's kind of like a new beginning. He said, I'm going to put my bow in the sky as a promise. And Noah was worshiping God, you know, made a burnt offering to the Lord. And the Lord went, oh, that's good. You know, and everything's good. Wouldn't it have been nice if it had ended on a good note? But here, man is sinful. Even the most righteous man is sinful. Now, one reason I say that, uh, I, I've, I've You know, sometimes you can look at people, and it's not in a healthy way, in an unhealthy way, and say, boy, they got all their ducks in a row. You know, true, we're supposed to set an example, but can I tell you that there is no such thing as a perfect man? And sometimes it gets to the point where people almost worship some of these preachers, and we can do it because, like, wow, I'm telling you, every single preacher that's ever lived, even the great ones who have led evangelism service and thousands have been saved, those from Billy Sunday to Billy Graham, those evangelists like D.L. Moody and the preachers of today that are preaching, Charles Stanley, you know, folks like that, we're like, man, what can I tell you? They're still sinners saved by grace. And I'm not saying that to make any excuse for sin. But I'm just saying, don't ever, sometimes we look at these people like, wow, if I could just be like them. Now, again, we need to set an example and a pattern, absolutely, as part of our testimony. But I'm telling you, you don't even have to hear this because you know this. Your preacher is not perfect. No man is perfect. So just be careful. The devil wants to trip you up. He wants you to fall. Tonight, point number two in this two-parter this morning and this evening. Point number two, even your sin affects others. So wise up. Even your sin affects others. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but he sinned by getting drunk and uncovering himself, and this led to Ham sinning. Now we know, let me tell you what we know, and then I'll tell you what we don't know, okay? What we do know is that Ham saw the nakedness of his father. We know that he sinned with his eyes, but we really do not know exactly what transpired. And there's a variety of opinions on exactly what Ham did to his dad. I remember having been taught before, and it seemed like this was in seminary when I got my master's degree. It seemed like one of the teachers down there felt that in the context and the way it was worded and everything, that there was some homosexual act here between Ham and Noah. But at least, that's what we really don't know exactly what happened, but we do know that it was sinful. We do know it had something to do with the eyes, at least started with the eyes. And we do know that it started as a result of Noah's sin. Getting drunk and uncovering himself. You see, the effect passed beyond Noah. Do you think that Noah felt the shame and guilt of a son? Because it says there in verse 24, Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. So again, we don't know exactly what that is. Don't go home and say, well, the preacher said, because that's just an opinion, because we're not given. But I think there's some merit to it, or possible merit to what I said. But Noah felt the shame and guilt of his own sinfulness, I believe. He felt the shame of his son. Now, you know, parents and children are pretty closely connected. I mean, what can hurt you about as much as anything? When your child gets in trouble or does something wrong, right? Sometimes I'm not convinced it doesn't hurt you even worse. But Noah felt the shame and guilt. Ham felt the shame and guilt. And if you read the rest of the story, even the next generation felt the shame and guilt. Because you look at verse 25, and he said, cursed be Canaan. And Canaan is the son. Again, you're talking about relations here. Relationships, Noah to Ham to Canaan. Just remember, your sin affects others. Amen. Even your sin affects others, so wise up. It's a lot like dominoes. How many of you have ever played dominoes? And you set them up. I'm not talking necessarily the real dominoes. I'm talking about the fun part of dominoes, the action part of dominoes, where you set them up and you push them. And, you know, some of those, man, they're fantastic, the way these people have taken the time and they hit one little domino and then the next domino, and it goes in a huge pattern and all kind of cool stuff. It's cool when it's dominoes, but it's not so cool when it's sin. And that's the way sin spreads, and that's the way sin affects other people. And I know that some people here tonight would probably understand exactly what I'm saying. Sin is a lot like cancer. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing, and it spreads, and it causes devastation. It causes death many times. You know, one thing that amazes me is sometimes when people get caught in their sin, they'll say something goofy like this. Oh, I'm not hurting anyone. Just think about that. That is not a true statement. I'm not hurting anyone. Christians sometimes, they want their own way. I mean, Christians can be as selfish as anybody. I have to be honest with you, sometimes I'm not sure if Christians aren't a little more selfish sometimes than other people. I've worked in the secular workplace. I've been around a lot of Christians here lately in the last bunch of years, 20 plus years. And Christians can be very selfish, and sometimes it's like, man, I'm not hurting anybody. I want to do my own thing. That's just plum goofy. I'm sorry, but that's just plum goofy. I like to call it what it is. One of my pet words is stupid. That's just stupid, okay? Because when you sin, you are hurting other people. Guess what? If you're married, you're hurting your spouse. If you have a family, you're hurting your family. If you're part of a church, you're hurting your church. If you're a Christian, you're hurting the cause of Christ. And you and I, we got these little pea brains up here, and I may not be able to say how exactly my sin might be affecting this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. But God says, if we're not right with Him, it has an effect on everybody. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's not in the context of sin, but I want to mention a point here about our interconnectedness as a Christian, okay? It's talking about the body of Christ. It's talking about Christians and how we're part of the body of Christ. And it says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Sounds like interconnectedness to me, right? Sounds like just what it says. If one suffers as a child of God, we all suffer because we're part of the same body of Christ and we're part of the same local church. So that is, even gets a little bit more personal. And it says, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with us, with it, excuse me. It says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So how can anybody say, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to sin against God, but it's not going to affect a single solitary soul? Do you know, I think a lot of times, if we're not careful, the sin in our heart and life can keep a church from going forward. Now, we're never going to reach a point of perfection. So don't say, the preacher said, we're supposed to be perfect. No, we'll never reach a point of perfection. But living in known sin with an attitude and saying, my sin's not affecting anybody. And probably the sins I'm mainly talking about aren't the kind you're going to get up on Wednesday night and say, I just want to tell everybody that I'm a sinner and I did this week. I mean, we're talking about things that are usually private. But I believe that if we're not careful, it'll hurt not only your spouse, it'll hurt not only your family, it will hurt all the folks around you, your local church. And it'll hurt the cause of Christ. I mean, how in the world can we say that, you know, I'm sinning and therefore I'm not right with God, but it's not going to affect anybody? Yeah, it is. It's going to affect people around you. You know, you've heard the expression, no man is an island. Our sin always affects others. Again, maybe in ways we do not know, but perhaps sometimes even in ways that we do know. You know, if you have a role as a parent and you're sinning against others and you're trying to raise kids or grandkids, guess what? You're not going to have the power and effectiveness as a leader of that little one like you would if you'd simply get right with the Lord. parents and grandparents in particular, eyes are watching you, they will most likely end up as many yous. And I mentioned that this morning. Even your sin affects others, so wise up. This morning, even good men sin, so watch out. Second point we just covered, even your sin affects others, so wise up. And last point, even your sin always has consequences, so wake up. So even your sin always has consequences, so wake up. We just looked at how your sin affects others, but do you know it affects you and your walk with the Lord as well? Noah was the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So every time from this point forward, I believe, he thought of his sons, there was a hurt there, right? But who got the ball rolling here? Who knocked the domino over first? It was Noah, right? So I can't help but believe that he had, I know God can heal hurts, but I really think that Noah had a hurt in his heart whenever he remembered his sin and how it affected Ham and how it affected his grandson, Canaan, and how it affected a whole bunch of people. I mean, a whole group of people. It says, cursed be Canaan. If you're in church, cursed be Canaan. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. You know, he's sending out blessings to Shem and Japheth, but he said, guess what, Ham? Your son Canaan is cursed. He's going to be the servant of the other two. Cursed be Canaan. That whole line went on to be known as a thorn in the flesh to Israel and as a very sinful people. You know, when we sin, we got to keep in mind that it will affect others, but we got to keep in mind that it will affect us. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, a familiar passage. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. I mean, really? We think we're going to get by with it? I'm a child of God. I belong to Him. I gave Him lock, stock, and barrel my whole life. What's the other expression? Hook, line, and sinker? But I'm going to get away with this. I'm going to get away with this sin. Nobody else knows about this. Can I tell you, you never get away with sin. Right there. Don't be stupid. God is not mocked. Don't be ridiculous. God is not mocked. Don't be goofy. God is not mocked. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. God knows exactly what's going on. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. You see, I remember a preacher in Chattanooga said, many of us like to sow to the whirlwind and then pray for a crop failure. It really doesn't work that way. We started out by saying, basically, whenever we sin, there are always consequences. There's another passage of Scripture that talks about the chastening of the Lord. On one hand, that's a good thing because it's a loving Heavenly Father. And, I wouldn't give you very much for an earthly father that never corrects his children, because I'm not sure you're truly loving them, because part of love is to correct, and God corrects us as his child. May not feel too good at the time, but Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Let me read just a few verses here that talk about the chastening of the Lord. It says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? The idea is discipline, okay? In case that word chasten gives you a hard time. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? You know, I'll continue one more verse. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So notice the word profit, notice the word holiness. So the point is, sin always has consequences. Always. We're not getting by with anything. It's kind of like the child that's not supposed to get a cookie out of the cookie jar. And they get a cookie out of the cookie jar, and they get that cookie down. They eat that cookie. But guess what they forgot? They're chocolate chip cookies. And there's chocolate all around their lips. Kids can't eat anything very neatly, right? So how ridiculous is it? I'm going to get by with it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get that cookie. I'm going to do this in my life. I'm going to go against God, but nobody's going to know it. And God said, no. You got chocolate all over your lips. I see it. I know what's going on. And when the Lord disciplines us, it's not pleasant. And I want to say this. Sometimes I really think, I was pondering about this today. Sometimes whenever we're chastened by the Lord, it's kind of like, you know, okay, I'm going against God. So he's just going to send a lightning bolt down and burn me up. Now, God can do anything he wants to do. But you know, and also the preacher in chat, it's amazing how many things you remember from preachers. The preacher, he said, God grinds slow, but God grinds sure. And you say, well, there was no lightning bolt, so I'm okay. But ask yourself, can you be in known sin and rebellion against God and be joyful in your Christian life? Now, when you're in this, knowing that sin always has consequences, sometimes the chastening of the Lord, the punishment of the Lord is that awful, guilty, dirty, ick feeling. Amen. Man, since the boys have been gone, you got to understand, we got more work to do. Because I had two teenage boys, well, one's 20, but I mean, they're quite the weed eaters. We've commented on what the weed eaters they are, right? So now guess who gets to do some of the weed eating? Man, I didn't know you could get so dirty weed eating. I mean, you get all sweaty, then all these little grass pieces stick to you, and you're just... And that's the way we feel sometimes whenever we sin against God, and we think we're kind of covering it up, and there hasn't been a loud boom, so I guess I'm okay, God. And God's saying, you know what? I'm grinding on you. You're feeling dirty. You're feeling guilty. You're feeling no joy in your heart and life. Guess what? It's because you're not doing what God wants you to do. Because sin always has consequences. Now, I'm a firm believer that sin is sin to God. Sin is disobedience to God. But the consequences are not equal. You know, we want to categorize. That's a little sin. That's a medium sin. That's a big sin. I'm convinced. It took me a while to get this. Really did. But I think all sin is equal, but the consequences are not. And so the consequences, sin always has consequences. Tonight, I would like to say, boy, wasn't this a happy ending? we preachers enjoy preaching happy endings a whole lot more than we do unhappy endings, but we can learn, right? You say, why did God put this in the story? So we can learn. The story of Noah's Ark, an unhappy ending. Let me remind you again, even good men sin. So watch out. Watch out. The devil's after you. If you're a child of God and you're faithful, I think it's even more tempting for the devil to say, you know what, I'm going to trip him up. Just be careful. Watch out. I know God is more powerful than the devil. I know God can help you get past that temptation and past that sin. But guess what? You got to watch out. Question, are you on your guard? Are you on your guard? You need to be. The devil's out there. He's slick. The second thing we covered at first point tonight, actually, was even your sin affects others, so wise up. Don't be deceived into thinking that I'm not hurting anybody. I'm doing my own little thing. If you're sinning against God, it affects everybody around you, including your church, including your family, including the cause of Christ. So are you affecting others with sin in your own life? The third thing we looked at, even your sin always has consequences. So wake up. Wake up. Not only does it affect other people, it affects you and your walk with the Lord. I want to be as pleasing to the Lord as I can be. I would like to hear, and I mentioned this morning that I want all y'all to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But I do want you to know that I never presume that I'm going to hear that. I think that would be inappropriate for anybody to say, yeah, I want to hear it. Yeah, I don't presume that at all. There's some gospel songs that I kind of like the song, but it's like, you know, when I hear well done, I'm like, that's my goal, but I'm not, you know? I think that's presumptuous and kind of maybe a little bit of pride in there. But I do want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So let me ask you, is there some sin in your life right now? Either, I know we emphasize sins of commission, but there's also sins of omission. For him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Maybe God's been on your back for months, years, about reading your Bible, about praying, about telling others about God, about tithing, about faithfulness. God's been after you. Can I tell you that the best thing to do is just get right? Confess that sin. Repent of that sin. Turn around. Start going in the right direction with God's help. Is there some sin in your life, omission or commission, that you think you're getting by with? It's not happening. You're not getting by with it at all? Ask God for forgiveness, that is, and help, and give up that sin. As I started, remember you some of those things are just kind of natural what come out next. Remember? If you sin, there will always be consequences. Just take that thought with you, would you? If you'd bow your head and close your eyes. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm not going to ask you to indicate in any way, but is God speaking to your heart? Is there something in your heart and life that should not be there? Or is there something in your heart and life that's not there that should be there? You know, our sin, we can pretty it up and give it a different name. We can call it whatever and try to make it sound very presentable, but it's still sin. Right? Is God putting his finger on some area in your heart and life that's not right? Would you go before God right now and say, God, would you please forgive me of this? You know, God's a big God, and if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you as a child of God, guess what? The Holy Spirit can tell you exactly what you need to do. Would you talk to God about it? If you're willing and your heart is soft and you're listening to the Lord, would you say, Lord, I hear you. Lord, forgive me of this. Lord, help me to overcome this sin, because sin always has consequences. I want my life to be joyful. I want my influence to be strong. I want my witness to have power. I want to serve Jesus as best I can. Something like that. Would you ask the Lord that? Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed, and some may be listening in by way of Facebook. How about you? Do you have sin in your heart and life that you need to forsake as a Christian? Or maybe you could be listening in and you say, you know what, I'm not a Christian. I've never trusted Jesus. I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. Can I encourage you at this point to call out in prayer to God from your heart and mean it and say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. I believe Jesus died for me on the cross to pay for my sins. I confess him as my Savior. There's no power in the words, but there's power if you mean it from your heart. Would you be saved tonight? Be assured of heaven? Have your sins forgiven? Become a child of God? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord, that you're an all-powerful God. We thank you that you're an all-knowing God. Lord, you know exactly what's going on in our hearts and in our lives. But Lord, help us to remember that whenever there's sin, there's always consequences. There are always consequences. Lord, help us to let that resound in our heart, resound in our mind. Even times when we're tempted to sin, Lord, may we remember what your word has said and say there's always consequences. And Lord, say no to that sin. And Lord, I pray that folks have done business with you tonight and they'll follow through. And Lord, with your help, overcome these sins of commission or omission, we pray. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the stories that have heroes. And we thank you for the stories that don't. But Lord, help us to learn from them all. In